Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The script for Wednesday's session, judging by how far U.S. futures tumbled, was for Wall Street to lose ground on the heels of one of the most contentious U.S. presidential debates that raised concerns about the November polls. But just to show you how unpredictable markets can be, U.S. stocks actually rallied and closed out hump day with gains that have also filtered into the regional markets that are open today, including here in Singapore. Today on Market View on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Stephen Innes, the Chief Global Market Strategist at Axie Corp, to share his thoughts on what the lessons we can take from yesterday's surprising session out on Wall Street and what his outlook will be for what could be a very nervy fourth quarter. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you're in good health. And welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, JP.
And we did see that at the start of the session out on Wall Street, and I want to pick up there, futures were trading deeply in the red, and everyone was expecting, okay, there might be another sell-off in the U.S. because of the U.S. presidential debates and all the questions it raised. But just to show you how much markets might know or not, we saw Wall Street actually rally. Why do you think that is? And do you think that sometimes markets might be a little at fault of reading into potential political uncertainty a little too much?
I really took it as a complete nothing burger, to be honest with you. But you cannot stop the news reading algorithms from dictating the pace. And that's partially the problem in the new electronic space we're in right now. First glint of negativity and the first uptick in volatility driven by these algorithms spreads a little bit of panic. And I think that's what we saw yesterday. I hate deferring to the electronic markets again, but it really a big focus. So, you know, given the fact, if you're looking at cross-the-board correlations here, nothing really moved, really. Volatility, VIX index stayed below 27. Long bond barely blinked. But the hypersensitive asset classes, the equity markets, because they're at highs, that's the reason why they're hypersensitive. And the hypersensitive growth assets like oil in the correlation basket had a nasty reaction, completely off-the-cuff reaction, in my view, to the proceedings. Basically, I think people were just suffering a case of post-debate syndrome shock. And that's really what it was. It was just a poor eye candy, really. And I think that's what people were more depressed about than anything else. So as we came in today, we put that on the back burner and we're starting to look at the more tangible items on the cards, which is the expansion of the polling numbers in favor of Biden.
So if this is a bit of a nothing burger, do you think it'll continue to be a nothing burger as we head into the November polls? And if that's the case, then what other key factors might you be watching out for as we head deeper into the fourth quarter?
I think there's a case that we could build in far too much complacency that we know too much about what the outcome of the election is going to be. So there's always that element of surprise. However, the volatility that's getting expressed around that area right now is certainly dropping in tangentially with the drop in the polls. I won't let my guard down. I think there is probably going to be some type of event, although I can't quantify or can't pinpoint where it is. It just feels that there's enough risk in the air right now pointing to some odd shift. So we have to keep our guards up. I think we have to stay defensive. History reminds us that elections can be a contentious affair, and it's one, by the looks of things, is going to be the most contentious affair that we've dealt with in some time.
You know, when people look at potential volatility, everybody tends to look at the VIX index. But in a recent note, you actually mentioned that the yen's volatility, or the Japanese yen's volatility, might be a signpost to watch for markets. Why do you think that's the case, Stephen? Can you elaborate a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. It's not necessarily the spot market that I'm referring to, which isn't really trading too actively. It's more or less the 1 to 2 month implied volatility markets that encompass that election period that is definitely a strong signpost for volatility. I think the reason why traders like to use the yen is because it encompasses two keynote factors when we're looking at broader risk sentiment. First of all, it encompasses a strong correlation to the 10-year U.S. Treasuries because the dollar-yen trades very, very much in lockstep with U.S. Treasuries. And as well, it also encompasses the safe haven appeal. So those two factors, in my mind, are very, very favorable, make a very favorable dynamic for judging currency risk sentiment into the election. And I think that's why the more seasoned currency traders are leaning on that specific area.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Stephen Innes, the Chief Global Market Strategist for Axie Corp here on Money FM 89.3. Stephen, I want to shift our focus now on to Asia and another big event kicking off today as mainland China embarks on its Golden Week holiday. It could matter in more ways than one. On one hand, everyone's banking that this week might give the tourism industry and the aviation industry in China a much-needed shot in the arm. However, you know, we did see the last time they embarked on a long holiday, which was the Chinese New Year, that's when COVID-19 cases started to pick up. And whenever people start to travel en masse, like in Europe, we've seen COVID-19 cases also pick up. Share with us your thoughts as to whether or not the Golden Week holidays has more potential upside or risks for the world's second largest economy.
I think one of the points you raised is very growth specific, and that's a sign of the Chinese regulators trying to encourage domestic consumption via domestic travel. There's big influence, the big deals getting offered up to stay at home or even go to regional centers that are available or that are currently open to travel. This is a big thing. This is one of the major initiatives that China's embarking on their dual mandates between now and the year 2025. So this is quite significant. Getting on to the health scare incident. Well, assuming the numbers that we're getting out of Beijing are correct, and also assuming what sort of social activities that we're being sort of peering into, at least at what press releases that we've been seeing, it looks like there's a lot of mingling going on in China, and the curve hasn't really steepened. So I think, although one can never be completely sure, I think there's a reasonable assumption here that the curve isn't going to steepen anywhere near as actively as what it has in the Western world, simply because people in Asia are more proactive about listening to the academics and safeguarding themselves. Means the virus and the incident of the virus has dropped quite considerably in most of the countries. China, for sure. Look at Thailand. We've had some exceptional incidences in Singapore, but that's more related to domestic housing issues rather than anything else. But I think we see the light better over in this neck of the woods, and I think this is why I remain quite positive on the China growth sentiment coming out of the Golden Week. I think it's going to hurt other countries. Traditionally, you would see a lot of that money getting spent in Europe, so luxury brands in Europe are certainly going to struggle. That's going to be a problem for the European growth story that we're already currently seeing sagging right now. Lack of inflation over there is just an absolute worrying sign that's going to have to weigh on the ECB at some point.
So no carryover perhaps for European economies. Oh, and I take it it's also going to weigh perhaps or exclude any potential carryover into the ASEAN region as well. Is that a fair assumption, or do you think there might be a little bit of pickup for the broader regional economy here in Southeast Asia?
Oh, I think of course, the travel sector is going to be lagging because we're not fully open right now. That's the problem. But I think with China's consumption engine starting to rev higher, and it's obviously getting expressed both in retail consumption through the consumer price or through the manufacturing price indexes. This is really, really good. And I think what it does is it suggests Asian countries that export into China are going to do quite favorably. Let's just look at Malaysia, for instance, where the ringgit had been struggling immensely for the last quarter up until we had this sudden change in the COVID curve. When the COVID curve started to flatten, China's economic engine started to rev higher, the Malaysian ringgit started to strengthen. It's actually strengthened quite considerably, and this is a really strong signpost. So we look at smaller countries in the ASEAN basket and how their currencies are reflecting, how their economies are bouncing back as a better gauge for overall sentiment. 100%, I feel very strong with economies that export that are very trade-sensitive proxies to China, such as the Aussie, Taiwan dollar, Korean won, and of course the Malaysian ringgit that I just mentioned. I think these are going to be key currencies that we're going to keep an eye on. Not keep an eye on, I think we're going to have in our portfolio going forward into 2021.
Is there any room for the Singapore dollar in your portfolio based on that thesis?
No, I do like the Singapore dollar. I just think it's just lacking. The tourism industry has to open because right now it's just basically surviving on domestic consumption. It needs like tourist input. And also, if we look at the stock market in Singapore, it's not a high-tech, high flyer in comparison to some of the North Asian versus, and it's not going to attract those big tech inflows. And that's a problem. And that's why I would prefer going into the broader trade-sensitive proxies to China that also have an element of tech in them, such as Taiwan, such as Korea. Those two stand out in my mind quite succinctly.
And finally, Stephen, with this seeming rotation out of the tech space, and you believe that people are rotating out of the stocks in the tech space into other areas, do you think that folks might be going to other sectors, or do you think folks might be just cashing out and not really deploying their capital investments into other areas?
I think value is a good opportunity right now, and I think that's what we're seeing. Some of the very pockets of underpriced value. Why not cash in some of your chips on technology? I mean, it was a surprise we got these bumps. Let's face it, nobody called the markets to run the Apple to run to the extent that they have. So I wouldn't mind cashing some chips in. Put in some value stocks. The reason why the value stocks will continue to hold up is because there's such a low volatility with regards to the rate sector. Rates aren't going up. So, I mean, there's not going to be any big negative impact. Once the economy starts to open up more fully, travel starts to broaden again, I think things will improve. I also think the banks will start to improve again because I think there'll be less policy support offered from central banks. And I think even the fact that inflation picks up, even think the Federal Reserve Board will probably start considering raising interest rates at some point to defend against inflation. Although they're advocating that they won't do that, I think there's nothing, monetary policy is never the Ten Commandments or the behold of everything. So we have to anticipate those things are going to happen eventually. And I think other sectors, the economies will pick up and stocks will fly. Look, once we get that vaccine at hand, it's a game changer. You know, all this all comes to the fore. And I think this is why investors are really looking at some of these undervalued pockets on anticipation of the vaccine getting delivered to the masses.
Mr. Stephen is Chief Global Market Strategist for Axie Corp. Thank you so much for joining us today on Monday FM 89.3. I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. And we look forward to you coming back on the show in the near future. Have a great Thursday ahead, sir.
Thanks for having me, JP. Talk to you soon.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.